Yeah, so, never commit violence to anyone. But it was tricky because they were slaughtering animals in the name of the Lord. Like today. God bless America. That the cows broke. Over this commandment. Okay, so that was what, 2,480 or something like that. So then, some centuries later, it was too much of a stretch to get people from the void, you know, into personalism. So it was an interim step. At least get people back into the Vedas. If the Vedas is Brahmamantra, so along the Vedas are directly manifested in the breathing of Krishna. But in a personal way, so Prabhupada calls an undermined body, which covered Buddhism, it's really the same thing, no personal God, but at least you get people back in the Vedas. Yes, there is something. It's more than nothing, the truth, it's something. But it's a person. Any idea?
At that time, did they have some religious?
Buddhists?
No, when Shankaracharya was preaching, but there are also devotees. Who's the
meaning? Oh, were they? Okay. Oh, yeah, there's always devotees, but they're manifested by men. Just like when Bhakti left, and within 100 years, the whole Bhakti movement was just totally ruined by so many. Who knows? Yes. Wait a minute. So then, we read the Parampara is still there. There's people like Vishnu Chakravarti and Bhushan, and they're heroically carrying on, but it's not very, it's kind of unmanifest. Not until the top lord, all of you know the top lord, who names, who gave the chapter their names, contents. This Krishna consciousness revived. So, yeah, it's always there, but it's not always available for us. Yes,
is Sakacharya the same person as Shiva?
Yeah, he's an incarnation of Lord Shiva. It was his royal. Lord Shiva has the most thankless tasks. He gave his shelter to all of and prayers and prishashas and the people really buried in the tunnel room. Then he's got to come and preach my mind. But what did he say?
Bhajanovinda,
you fools and rascals. Buddha, Buddha, I heard Prabhupada say. Buddha means ass. And he said, particularly.
And you mean Bhajanatana meant the English words for the sentence?
That's what I understand.
Oh, I see. Because the chapter names were already there, no?
Yeah.
It's in Sanskrit.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Buddha showed that yogi, 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 yogi.
Could you please translate what about Shiva said at that?
Oh, okay. You fools and rascals, your grammatical word chapter of prefixes and suffixes in Sanskrit grammar will not save you at the time of death. Because that's what it's funny, that's what he did. He just jumbled things. So it's like, if you want to cover the truth, you really have to be tricky. It's like slide hand, we say smoke and mirrors, right? So actually, Vedic wisdom is as clear as a bell. Want to make something else out of it. You have the Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. I am great Oz. Anyway, so that was what Shankaracharya did. He took the clear message of the Vedas, the Daisya Sarvaya, how many of the Vedas, which is said by all the Vedas, am I to be known. And he just juggled everything to make it come out impersonal, so it could be a little, it's a little step up from nothing. Something that is impersonal. And then after Shankara was the big Sri Shankara.
I mean, so Vajra
Govinda. Oh, that's okay. Worship Govinda. Vajra Govinda. Worship Govinda.
Acharya.
Yeah, then Ramanuja said, okay, there is a quality of oneness here. But there's a vast difference between us and the Absolute. It's called Vishushka, which is qualifying non-dualism, qualifying monism. So he's taking it a notch further toward Ramanuja. And then Bhattacharya is like this. He's like, hey, there's two. Jiva and Paramatma. Against the Mahatmas, really strong. And then Mahaprabhu comes along, and he in harmony, he synthesizes the impersonal thesis and the personal thesis into the Absolute is one, the Absolute is different, and Mahaprabhu says, hey, it's one and different. No worries. The Krishna has an impersonal side. Okay, we're not quite covering this, so. So my favorite, if you read the introduction to Gita Mahatmya, I was tempted actually to do this instead. What did you do? Okay, did you believe? Because what happens in the Gita Mahatmya and the Padma, it's a story, it's a long story about a person named Vaishnava. Anyway, this is a little more compact. If you look down in my edition, the Australian edition, it's on page 31. And it starts with the words, in conclusion, where Prabhupada is, you know Prabhupada, did you ever hear the recording of this introduction? Yeah. It's the first recording we have. First recording. If you look in the recordings of Prabhupada's words, it's February 19th. 1966. And it's really funny. If you listen to this recording, the first thing you hear is Prabhupada is all alone in this railroad shaped car room that Dr. Mishra was kind of living in his head. No windows. Prabhupada is all alone in his tape recording. And I'm the outside of the silence you hear.
One will be freed from all fears in this life, and one's next life will be spiritual.
So when you realize that Chandra, who was an incarnation of the topmost Vaishnava of Shiva, wrote this, it's ecstatic. He's showing his true colors here. This is what he did when he said, okay, and now the next paragraph.
That's
the first Mahatma. The first glorification. Let's look at that day.
There is also a further advantage. Vidhajaya, can you say it?
Yes, this is what I'm doing.
Does it say this word?
Vidhajana Shivasya. Gita Dhyana.
Gita Jayana Sivasya Ramayana Rashita Kailashati Kata Vipurva Janmata. Lord's seriousness then, but the grace of the Lord, the reactions of his past misdeeds will not hang upon him. Peter, Matthew 2. The Lord says very loudly in the last portion of Bhagavad Gita, 1866, Sarada Mandarita Mahajan. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Thus, the Lord takes all responsibility for one who surrenders unto him. And he identifies such a person against all the reactions of sins.
So, says, the Lord says very loudly in the last portion of the book, this is a great example of Prabhupada Guru. Who else would say that? The Lord says very loudly. How does he know? Because this is the climactic, highlighted verse in Bhagavad Gita. Actually, there's only one verse in Bhagavad Gita. This is where it's all culminating in this surrender to me. And Prabhupada, therefore, highlights the underlines of the meditation. So, brings our attention to it. Okay, so, what do you want to read the next? Can you
talk about my Yamakhanam Pumshan Jala Shnanam Deen Nadeen Suckers, Kitamata, Shana, Samsara, Mara, Nasar, one may cleanse himself daily by taking a bath in water, but if one takes a bath every month in the sacred Ganges water of Bhagavad Gita, for him the dirt of material life is altogether vanished.
Thanks. Great. So, so far, same point. Just by studying the Gita, all the momentum, our karma from all our career in the material world, from the time we came here, from the time beyond memory, can be wiped out. We actually dive in and immerse ourselves. Just like when you go to the Ganges, you can be immersed. Immerse yourself in Mother Ganga and feel so purified and refreshed. So, similarly, we have to bathe ourselves as Henry Guru says, in the morning I bathe my intellect in the stupendous and cosmological philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, in comparison with which our modern world and literature seem puny. I think it was even reading Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
I was in Rome, or simply reading some British edition.
So, for my interest, but can you say a few words about this person?
In addition, he and Emerson were the big American transcendentalists in the 19th century in America. It was people reading the Gita, they were also looking east. They had correspondence with Popular and Popular. And they were trying to set up a community called Brook Farm in the Northeast, and what we call New England in America, the Northeast part of America. It didn't last. But they were the pioneers, I would say. They were the first Americans to seriously look east for truth, for wisdom. And that's what we have in quoted. They're famous all over the world in the English speaking world. Rural Emerson, they were friends and philosophers. And especially Thoreau, he wrote Walden Pond, he was famous for living, simple living, living in the woods. And sometimes he would sneak down to his mother's house and get some cookies. Okay, so what? Would you like to read the third? Yeah, that was the third. So,
Gita Sunita Kartavya Kim Aniyam Shastra Vishtara Yasvayam padamam vasya mukha padmat vinishitam. Because Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one need not read another Vedic literature. One can only attentively and regularly hear and read Bhagavad Gita. In the present age, people are so absorbed in mundane activities that it is not possible for them to read all the Vedic literatures. But this is not necessary. This one book, Bhagavad Gita, will suffice. Because it is the essence of all Vedic literatures, and especially because it is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Gita Mahatmya 4.
Acharya elsewhere said, the Bhagavad Gita is the epitome of essentials. What do you mean by that? How many verses are there in Vedas? I don't know if anybody really knows, but sometimes it's said 10 billion would be billion verses. So think about that. That's, even more practical. Now, out of all those verses, about 96% of those verses are devoted to what? Karmadhamma, one.
But that's what people most know.
That's right. We don't come to this world to serve Krishna, we come to this world to try to serve ourselves and forget Krishna. Krishna knows that. And like a kind, wise father, so he gives you what you think you want, and then, but by following that karma kind of, you actually get purified and moved beyond the conception of the body as itself. Because karma means I'm trying to enjoy the gross body. Jnana, which is the next step up, means I'm trying to enjoy the subtle mind. Yoga means I'm trying to enjoy this power of it. And finally, bhakti. So there's a progression. If people follow these systems, but when they follow these systems, in good old Vedic days, you know, people 100,000 years, or 10,000 years, or 1,000 years, you know, in former times, when there was time for that kind of, over many lifetimes, graduation and qualification, was rites of passage were followed. Elevate people, bring them higher. So, there is a time for that in our age, there is a lot of time for use, and what is some of the problems?
Misguided, unlucky, and above all, this is true.
This is what unfortunately is true. So, therefore, Mahaprabhu said, Nasdeva, 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 not by karma, not by yin, not by yoga. Just January Christian, and we offer on top of the rosary. Anybody can take shelter. Of pure devotee in this age, and generate Krishna, follow that pure devotee's spiritual master instructions, and you get expressed that moment back to God. There's no need for detouring and diverting and doubting and doing that practical anyway. So, Sankaracharya said the Gita is the epitome of essentials because in just 700 verses, this means 700 verses, what's 700 compared to 10 billion? We've got to calculate, okay, we're going to hear the mathematical. What are you going to do with it? You got anybody here to calculate? Anyway, it's a small number. So the Gita is Veda concentrate. You know, you get some concentrate Veda stuff. The whole Veda is the essence of Veda. So, even one verse in the Veda sums up tens of millions of verses in the Vedas. Just think about how powerful that is. Okay, so I'll cut this in the meantime. Okay. Then that. and as it is said. You see that? Now, if we just finished Kiyama before, so then as it is said, is it? Oh, it's the answer. Yes, you're obviously. Can you read it?
The love of the Lord is the same salvation.
Wait a minute. As it is said, Vardham Dasarvasam Vishnu-vatra-nisritam Gita-vandho-vatam-kitma Vrajan-vandho-vitine. Quote. Science temple. Soul, And then there's the super self, God, spirit, and the supreme spirit. And we're trying to taste, just like a bird might be in a tree, trying to taste the fruits of the tree. Sometimes the fruit is sweet, sometimes it's sour. So similarly, we're living in this tree of the body, to continue the metaphor. And sometimes we enjoy it, and sometimes we suffer. But meanwhile, it's just our friend, our witness friend, who just waiting for us to give up this whole foolish enterprise of trying to squeeze everlasting pleasure out of this temporary bag of bones. And just come in. Ramante yogino nante satyananda jirakmani iti rāpate nasa param brahma vriyate. This is the verse. It says, the great souls, the yogis, the rishis, the saints, the mystics, they enjoy unlimited pleasure because they enjoy the pleasure within in relationship to the Supreme Spirit. And the yogi Nanda, they enjoy unlimited satyananda jira. So there's a whole wealth of reservoirs, prophets, of pleasure inside us, but we don't tempt it. We're conscious of it, we're unaware of it. So therefore we try to fill the emptiness by looking without and surrounding ourselves with so many external stimuli and extensions like that. I don't know how it is in Europe. You walk around in America, iPods and cell phones, and it was sweet. Of course, you can use those things, you can spiritualize them, like having Krishna, Kirtan, and lectures, and doing it in the spiritual world too. But we've forgotten our whole life inside. So, whole life inside, we don't need all this older stimulation. So, that's my favorite. We both see Arjuna Krishna as the cowherd in Arjuna. Yeah. It's just like a cat. And we're just like Arjuna. We're going to say, just drink as part of the people. Okay, why don't we do the last one together? Okay.
Ekam shastam devahi buddha gitam Eko devo deva yudhra Eko mantrasya syamadhyani Karma vishtam tasya vasya seva.
And Mark, you want to read the last paragraph? So this is a very triumphant ending to the introduction. Prabhupada ends in a real high, ecstatic, triumphant note.
In this present day, people are very much eager to have one scripture, one form, one religion, and one contemplation. Therefore, the council has done the magic to transition. Let there be one scripture only, one common scripture for the whole world, Bhagavad Gita. Echo the whole magic to transition. Let there be one God for the whole world, Sri Vishnu. A common trust as a man, and one hymn, one mantra, one prayer. The chanting of his name.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Karmapi etam tatsi devasi seva. And let there be one work on the service of the spiritual son of God.
So that sums it up. One scripture, one God, one religion, and one occupation. And within that oneness, there's unlimited variety. People hear that and think, oh, no, you're limiting me, this Krishna, what about so many things? But we're so foolish, we don't know that everything is related to Krishna. Krishna means the source. We can all attract the source. So, we gave a hot meat to Prabhupada in the introduction. And I wish I would have surrendered everything to me, but I've already done it. In the database, they don't even do this whole thing. This whole dispute, a portion of it. But in fact, there's an outline of this study guide. And it gives the connections between chapters, the connections between sections of the chapters, the connections between between the verses and the chapters, as well as confidential commentary from Baladeva Vibhushan and Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur about things that are going on even inside the verses and between the verses. Like we say, reading between the lines. You know? So these acharyas, they know what's going on. I'll give you an example from the second chapter. Look at, turn to chapter 2, text 7. Let's get a little sample. Let me chant it, but this is a famous verse. Right? This is where Arjuna, after arguing like a lawyer, what he shouldn't surrender, finally gives up. And that's Krishna finally doing the talking. So here we go.
Krishami tvam dharma sambhuna chetam yascena syam nishchitam prohitam ye shishyaste ham shayimam tvam prapannam. Now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of my own weakness. In this commission, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am a disciple and the soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me.
So in the next verse, you see Arjuna go on about why he goes on about why Krishna should instruct him. And so, Lord Jagannath quotes Krishna on chapter 1 of Thakur. And also, the late great Mona Chandramana, she also speaks all of this. According to the Thakur, after Arjuna surrenders, Krishna tests him. He tests the surrender. Oh, I can't, no, you don't want me as a guru. I'm your friend. Why don't you go ask Vyasadeva? You know, go ask somebody else. I mean, Krishna, you see Krishna does this a lot, you know, with the meaning, torture for me. But I need a lot of time. So after hearing this, then Arjuna, you know, the next verse, I can find no means to drive away this grief, which is drying up my senses. You know, he just goes on and on. So the second chapter is the whole thing in summary. If you have chapter 2 and chapter 18, which comes, you know, it's a roundup, you really know. But it's really all, see, Arjuna and Krishna are like two actors on the stage. You know, like, when you're practicing the play, and the director says, don't turn your back on the audience, Prabhu. You know, don't block. Don't block that person. Don't. Because really, they're speaking. But they're really doing it for us. Because this is spoken on the evening. The big bad Kali Yuga, we need help. And so this is the essential text. And everything's here in the book. At least in C form. Bhagavad Gita Bhagavad Gita says it's the ABCs of the transcendental knowledge. And then Bhagavad Gita is the rest, is the XYZ. So the second chapter is the whole thing in summary, but also there are definite sections. When you study the Gita, do you read? Do you have original books? Surrender and the
Gita? It's highly recommended.
You must get it. If you read this book, if you read the Gita and read this study guide, you will understand the whole flow. It's revolutionary understanding of the Gita, isn't it? Have you read this book?
No, I was just thinking I should buy it.
Everybody, I think it must be in the DSL, it must have it.
Yeah,
or PLS, or yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a great investment. It was revolutionized. Because you see how it all flows. It all flows. Krishna is, we're all lost in different corners of karma. You know, fruitive activities just to try to enjoy the gross bodies. Or jnana, trying to enjoy the subtle mental spheres. Or yoga. So see, in the Gita, Krishna, he reaches out to all these markets, as they say, all these, you know, population groups, and brings us all back to the point. That's why people think there's many paths talked about in the Gita, but they don't know the Gita. They don't have it from the Gita story. Because Krishna does address karma, jnana, and yoga. Why? Out of compassion, to get us all to him. We're lost at all. It's like when you try to share Krishna consciousness with people. You talk to the person, you sort of befriend the person, see where are you, who are you, where are you from. And really, preaching means is to go right where they are and honor where they are, and respect where they are, and acknowledge them. And then, in a very, you know, appealing way, this comes with maturity, you lead them step by step to Krishna. You don't just come in preaching like this. You have to go right where a person is and just show them that they give us from it. That's preaching. So Krishna does this in the Bhagavad Gita. You know, some verses appear to speak about yoga and jnana. It's just that Krishna's just preaching. He's going there. The first six chapters is a lot about, you know, it's all about bhakti, but externally it's a lot about karma. How to act. And this is what the second chapter is. So the first 10 verses of the Gita is a carryover from the first chapter, Arjuna's surrenders. Basically, that's what happens. Finally, his final reason for not fighting is that he's totally confused. That's the verse, just before this. 2:6. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. Sons of Dhritarashtra, whom if we killed, we should not care to live, are now standing before us on this path. In other words, I'm damned if I do, and I'm damned if I don't. And this is how life is. When we try to make ourselves the center, I'm damned if I do, and I'm damned if I don't. It's the eternal existential. Because in the material world, if I'm making myself the center of everything, there's as many reasons not to do something as to do it. Therefore, life is absurd, said the French. And one, you know, Gabu, was very famous for living his philosophy.
Suicide?
Yeah. He finally said, he said, the only question worth asking oneself is,
I'm not committing suicide.
Yeah. Should I take my life or not? And he finally decided what happened. This is not working. So that's because as long as we insist on making ourselves the center, everything is totally broken. So many pros, so many cons. Why do I think it's so hard? You know, life is hard and then you die. That's what they say in there. Life is hard and then you die. So, in the first 10 verses, Arjuna finally surrenders. And did I share with the devotee class my Arjuna moment when I was 70 years old?
That wasn't there.
Oh, that was in the seminar. Okay, and then in verses 11 through 30, you get Krishna just clearing the, he just clears the field. Lays down the law. Look, there's what's temporary and what's eternal. There's what's matter and what's spirit. There's what's real and what's not real. He just lays it out. Just to clear the air. You know, because the whole thing in the first chapter is Arjuna was he was articulating his ignorance. You know, preaching Dharma Shastra. Krishna's saying, no, you have to come. So from 1 through 10, if you want to take notes, it's all about Arjuna surrendering. 11 through 30, it's all about Brahma Gyan, just establishing basic spiritual truth. And then from 31 to 38, very interesting. The whole portion begins, 31 starts with appealing to Arjuna. So what's in it for him if he surrenders? It's yoga on the basis of what's in it for you. It's called Sakam Karma Yoga. Practicing yoga, but you're still full of selfish desire. But by text 38, it goes to Nishkam. It goes, just do it because it's the right thing to do. You know, it's going to be good for you, it's going to be good for everybody. Just be dutiful. And then there's a little Sunday, there's a little transition verse that says, thus far I have declared to you the analytical knowledge of Sankhya philosophy. Yeah, I lectured you on all this truth. Now, listen to the knowledge of yoga, whereby one works. Because if we act in knowledge, that reinforces our realization. If we actually practice what we're hearing, we get vigyan, we get realized knowledge. Now listen to the knowledge of yoga, whereby one works without fruit and result. Of sunnikrita, when you act in such consciousness, you can free yourself from the bondage of works. So that's 6:39-53. And then Arjuna asks, what are the symptoms of Vajra's consciousness? Is thus merged in transcendence. How does he speak? What is his language? How does he sit? How does he walk? So Arjuna appears to ask a very external question. But Arjuna and Krishna gives a very internal answer. Prajati Hida Sarvan Parthamadoga Atmani Mahana Krishna Hitakrakya Siddhocha Osanapita. And again, Oparta. When a man gives up all varieties of desire, he goes to the root for sense gratification, which arise from mental compunction. It's just an imagination. It's just a promise. It's a feeling. There's no real. It's an advertisement. I know you don't believe it, because you're younger than me. It's just an advertisement. It looks good. My temple president in Gainesville, Florida, he once sent Prabhupada. We were up in Chicago for Radhyatra. And so, 1974, and all the Radhyatra buses were there for Radhyatra. Problems, and so many things happened. And so, my temple president asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what is sense gratification? Is it a figment of my imagination? Is it real? What is it? Sense gratification is real because it comes from Krishna. But it is, and then Prabhupada said, but it is, and then the last word, as he was saying the last word, he took his two fingers, his pointer finger and his thumb. And as he said the last word, he began to close the space between his fingers. He said, sense gratification is real because it comes from Krishna. But it is restricted. And then by the time he said, indeed I'm restricted, you could barely see his space between his fingers. That was it. Okay, so, which arrives from mental, so it's a mental, it's an idea. It's a hope, it's a promise, it's an idea. Like in America, they say Ford, you know, Ford Motor Company. Ford is a better idea. So that's what we think. Krishna says, surrender unto me, I have a better idea. It doesn't matter what works. And it arises from mental concoction. And when his mind, thus purified, finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. See, it's Krishna speaking very gently. Self alone. This can appeal to karmis, gyanis, yogis. It's early on here. So, find self. What is that self? Who is that? It's the spirit. Who's the reservoir of pleasure in relationship to the Supreme Spirit? It's a whole life within is waiting to be proclaimed. So from 39 to 54, you get Adilakna, what Krishna calls Buddhi Yoga, the yoga of intelligence. And then in 55, through the rest of the chapter, it's all about the glories of this kind of transcendence, to actually living in a higher dimension, a higher dimension of pleasure consciousness. So that, my dear devotees, is the second chapter summarized, and Krishna spends the whole Gita spelling out, unpacking what he says in the second chapter. It's too much, too fast for Arjuna, because at the beginning of the third chapter and the beginning of the fifth chapter, first you say this, and then you say that. And that's our condition. We're full of two-ness duality. It doesn't quite make sense to us, because we're still making ourselves the center. And we're not the center. So for those who are caught in this, doesn't work. It only works when the mind of our life, Krishna, we're only the part, not the whole. That's the good news. That's the bad news. The false ego is the good news. We're the real self. So I encourage you to study and live the Bhagavad Gita. And I can tell you, when I sat down in 1972 on the Asputra, it was Saturday, September 2, it was one fine sunny day, and it was in West Virginia, New Vrindavan. McMillan had just published the complete Gita. It was the first edition, it was a good try, but still a lot of books. And we still find them. We got a good understanding order. Check this Gita, Gita Tika. Don't you find mistakes in schemes? Despite what the conspiracy people say, Alpha wants his books. So I sat down on the hill above the Puruban temple where Prabhupada had just, the stories, Vyasakrucha, asked them. And I took the Middle Gita and I started with 1-1. Sometimes 1-1. Means? After assembly
in the
place.
The sons of the Dhritarashtra, with my sons and the sons of Pandya.
Dhritarashtra. How about the end of the Pandya? Desiring to fight. Yeah. So, it took me 6 years with index cards in my porcha. Running around, that was the Hare Krishna explosion. So time was, I tell you, it was a different time. You go through a whole lifetime in one day, it seemed like. So, and the only thing that kept you going was to be your friend. We gotta make these verses our friends. We gotta develop a real relationship with Krishna's, with these stories. They are Krishna. 6 years later, I sat down and moved down in the same spot, and Prabhupada's palace of gold was open. And I got a chance to recite the whole thing. So it was mercy. It's a real, see, our minds are just like garbage pails, neons, being here, trying to enjoy life, Krishna. But we can retool. We focus, we can renovate our minds when we line our minds with these beautiful words, these paintings, these shastras. And then the mind becomes like an art gallery. And everybody likes to walk into an art gallery. No one likes to walk into a garbage dump. But if you walk into this art gallery of the mind, lined with these beautiful shlokas, then life is fun. But the whole key is to make the mind friend. Buddhare, this is 6-3. Buddhare, atmanatmanam, atmanam. Man has elevated himself by his own mind. The mind is defended the condition. A man has elevated himself by his own mind, not degraded himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy in his mind. The yoga means to control the mind. It's like the steering wheel in the car or the reins of the horses. As long as we got a firm grip, it's great. It takes us to where we want to go. So when we let go or get slack, we work. It's like every morning we chant, Japa, we try and beg for, please Krishna, I cannot do this on my own. Please help me, O Radha, O Krishna, please accept me. Please help me. And then, when the mind rolls off, what's the astra? We give shastra and shastra. What's the mantra? Bring the mind back.
Yes, 626.
From wherever and wherever the mind wanders. When I was a kid, when I was 4 years old, it must have been something from a previous life. I could lie in my bed and just, fly around the room. It's an astral projection or something. In the funny state, when you're kind of half awake and half asleep, so I'll be able to. I never thought about it. So that's what the mind is. The mind's always thinking. We try to chant. It's always going to the movies. And angry for what it doesn't have, implementing for what it wants. Angry. Krishna says, from whatever and wherever the mind wanders to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back into the control of the sun. So much taste in now. Na chintani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasavikrama, Kodakshya Kodi Mukto, Vinaya Nama Nama. It's a touch bank. It's full of rasa. It's full of truth and taste, everything you want. We just have to keep practicing. Practice makes perfect. One time we did the Dhamma talk, playing his belly like a drum. And I hear this one shout out and say, Swamiji, how did you learn how to do that? Practice. And practice makes perfect. Okay, so the punchline of this class is that when I teach Shastra and Mayapur, I have a file. It's very, very helpful. It's very practical. Why to learn shlokas? How to learn shlokas? The nitty-gritty, really, how to do it. Now, can you take a class? Well, I can just send you a file. If you email me at SURESVARA, Sureshkumar, at Gmail, I'll be happy to send you this. Very helpful file, consisting of directions, tips, and actor, and a few finger devotees, and to tell us why to do it, why? You want to get all these shlokas by heart, and how to do it. I understand not everybody has that propensity. But if you just even learn a few, they become your friends. And they reveal themselves to you, but if you're in situations and they appear, friend. We have to develop an emotional relationship with Krishna, because absolute ascension down has true, impersonal quality down has moved or removed in the way Prabhupada edited his own home, change moved or removed. And in that stanza, Sarasvati Thakur said, disciple of Mani Chakra Buddha, Das had captured his mood, his mission, absolutely sentient, where everything comes from, has perceptions and has feelings. That's what sentient means. So that's why we remember things that really strike our hearts. So we actually say we have to do that. Verses, darshan, so many ways Krishna makes himself available through our ears, through our eyes, through our tongue, sense and touch. Okay, thank you for letting me say something. Do you have any questions or comments? Really, I'm serious about this violence. It's full of if you have an inclination for this kind of stuff, you know, to just ride home on the the air of the sound, the spiritual air. And that's how you see Krishna. For one who sees everything, sees me everywhere, and sees everything in me, I've never lost. And it's really lost in me. Shamadasi also said, she's good in Prabhupada's shoes. Swamiji, what does it mean to see Krishna everywhere? Well, you see by flutes, what do you think? Well, those are Prabhupada's shoes, those are Swamiji's shoes. So, that's how the devotee sees everything he sees. Your eyes are with Krishna. He doesn't just see the thing, he sees, oh, this is Krishna's place. And I agree with him. He was walking into a storefront in Asia sometimes. He saw the bones and all the debris and all the horns and the garbage trucks and he said, this is horrible, it's second hand. Swamiji walked up to him and put his hand on his shoulder and said, what a day you will see all of this is what he would. Yeah. Of course, how could Prabhupada come to this horrible place? And thus he saw it all as Krishna's place. So that's the challenge for us. And the key is hearing. There's only so much we can eat. We can pour unlimited sweet spiritual sound into our ears. Okay, let's take the rest of the week and get up in here. You don't have to raise your hand, that's why I keep talking. Alright, have a minute. Dhyan, Bhagavad Gita, Nifti, Dhyan, 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 Dhyan,